At Daleville Christian Church, we want to affirm what it is we believe. We want to know what it is we believe and encourage you to do the same. And so, an affirmation of faith each week in the worship, and this one from 1 John, the 4th chapter, the 9th and 10th verses. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Today's reading of God's Word is from John chapter 10, verses 7 through 16. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. Last week, we looked briefly at these words of our Lord Jesus that we hear read again today as God's word for today from John's Gospel. There are many things going on in these verses. Jesus is in a confrontation with the Jewish religious leaders, but Jesus, as Jesus so often does, Jesus says more than what you and I might call getting to the point. And so here. Last week we noted that evil comes to steal and kill and destroy. Today we focus on the Heavenly Father and Jesus because Jesus goes on to say what Jesus intends, and it is the second half of that very same verse, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, says Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus contrasts the intention of evil and the intention of the Heavenly Father in Jesus. God gives life, and Jesus comes to give us life to the full. This is what Jesus intends to do for you and me. Call it Jesus' plan, if you like. Jesus' plan is to give all of us life to the full. I've reviewed with you before some other possible translations and interpretations of Jesus' words here in John 10. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and give it abundantly. Our Lord Jesus said, I have come to bring you life and bring it abundantly. Or other translations say, to bring it more abundantly, in abundance, in all its fullness, in the fullest way possible. And the Wycliffe Bible version says, plenteously, and I didn't even know that was a word. But the point is that life needs to be seen as a gift as God intended. And God intends, through Jesus, to give that gift of life in its fullness. That is taking a God-centered view of life. God thinks life is the best gift ever. The book of Genesis features the giving of life, the creation of life, first in plant life, verse 11, of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. Life. Then the oceans, verse 20, let the water teem with living creatures. Verse 24, let the land produce living creatures. And then the great drama, this is all leading up to in verse 26, let us make humanity in our image and in our likeness. And at the end of the sixth day after the creation of humanity, the Bible says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. It was very good. Every other time in that first chapter, after each day of creation, it says that God saw everything and said, it was good. After the creation of humanity, the Bible says that God said, it was very good. Now, we're all human beings, except you remember that my older brother told me that when I was a kid, I was a Neanderthal, and Neanderthals are not human. Now, some of us have Neanderthal genes, but we're still human. But even as human beings, we are all unique. In all of human history, there has never been anyone exactly like you, and there never will be. We have at least three sets of twins represented in this congregation. But even the twins, even if you still can't tell them apart, they are unique individuals. Just ask their family members. They are individuals and they are different from each other. And these families may yet have more twins in the family someday, but they will all be unique individuals, even as identical twins. Our Lord and Creator apparently wants it that way and likes it that way. And our Lord wants you and I to live with Him forever. I emphasize, live with Him. Our Lord intends that your life go on after death, and our Lord wants you to live with Him. That's part of the proof of your value to God. Another thing we learned last week is that in our own hands, God's wonderful gifts, His wonderful creation, including ourselves, in our own hands, the gifts get messed up. And God wants His creation back so He can reclaim it. God came in Jesus to redeem His creation and get you back into God's hands. Out of your own hands and into God's hands, God intends to redeem His creation back to Himself. I think we said it 2 weeks ago in our statement of faith from 1 Timothy chapter 2. God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, our Lord knows that isn't going to happen. Not everyone would listen to the truth when Jesus Himself walked the earth. So not everyone's going to listen to and accept the truth, but God wants it for everyone. God does love us all. We are His creation, and God wants us to enjoy Him forever. Jesus said that God knows us so well that the hairs on our head are numbered. The Lord God knows us that well. And it isn't just a head knowledge that God has. God has a heart knowledge of us as well. As a God who made us, God thinks that we are very special. There isn't anyone like us anywhere at any time in history. We usually make sure to acknowledge that at every funeral that I do. Some psychologists have outlined 32 different personality types. If God is the God of creation, then we have to affirm that 32 basic personality types, that's the way the Lord likes it. How often do we remind ourselves that we are all different? We do not have the same fingerprints or the same voice print. Isn't this proof that God has made a very unique gift of each of us to this world? We must acknowledge that the Lord gives good gifts. The Lord gives life. The Lord takes note of our life, and the Lord takes note of our deaths. As a part of God's creation, as one of God's special creations, God takes notice of our passing from this life. People will sometimes talk about other people, not knowing about them or caring what happens to them, but God does know what happens to us, and God cares about it. That our God cares about our life, this too I often mention at funerals. And we turn to Jesus' words. All of us have seen a dead bird. People in Jesus' day saw dead birds. Jesus said, little birds fall down dead, and God knows. If God knows and takes note of the passing of some of the smallest of his creatures, does God notice us? Oh yes, Jesus said. Jesus said, we are of much more value than the birds. The Bible reminds us that life is the Lord's, all life and our life. The Lord has made everything, and we will live with the Lord forever in relationship with the Lord. This is an image Jesus uses of the bridegroom who builds his bride a room or prepares a room in his father's house where he and his beloved wife can live. Jesus tells his friend, I tell you, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. The whole point Jesus is saying is that we will be together with the Lord. Jesus came to give us new life, changing us for the better, so we can receive what the Lord wants us to have. Life, better life, a life with God that starts now in this life and goes on for eternity. And Easter's the proof. Easter's the proof that Jesus is who Jesus says he is, and that Jesus will do what Jesus says he will do, and that our God will do what God says he will do. A new life that goes on for eternity in resurrection. The great artist Pablo Casals is supposed to have said, each second we live is a new and unique moment of the universe. So what do we teach children? We teach them that 2 + 2 = 4 and that Paris is the capital of France. When we should also teach them what they are, a marvel, unique. In all the years that have passed, there has never been another child like you. There are two books of the many books I have on my shelf concerning the afterlife. One is by Hank Hanegraaff, who wanted to give clear answers about death and life after death, according to the Bible. Hanegraaff wrote in response to a question about heaven, if heaven is perfect, won't heaven be perfectly boring? Hanegraaff states that whoever asked the question has not even considered seriously the mysteries of this life. For example, we finite creatures can never in this life come to know the full knowledge of an infinite being as God is, and it follows that we barely know the depth of God's love, and that is worth knowing. The depth of God's love for us. Hanegraaff asked, during his earthly sojourn, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why? Because he treasured fellowship with his heavenly Father. How much more should we, finite humanity, treasure the thought of forever growing in relationship with the one who created us for eternal love and togetherness? What are the words of the apostle I use as a blessing? And I pray that you and all God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love, how wide and how long and how high and how deep that love is. Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know, but I pray that you will be able to know that love. Then you can be filled with the fullness of God. The apostle writes in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, we won't know the greatness of Christ's love in this life. Not in its fullness, but we shall know it better in the heavenly places. Again, it is at funerals that we cover the vision of Isaiah and the vision of the book of Revelation with regard to our life and the next life. The prophet Isaiah says this about our life together in the future. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast, and he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil of mourning that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And the book of Revelation uses the very same language, reflects this very same promise in the 21st chapter of that Revelation book. The book of Revelation of John says this about the future: Behold, the dwelling of God is with humanity. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away. Both state clearly that we shall be with God. This brings me finally to another of the books on my shelf on death, entitled Proof of Heaven by Eben Alexander, a neurosurgeon who experienced being brain dead. His book explains his experiences. He claims at the end of the book that the entire universe has a purpose, and that is to bring human beings into existence and allow them to participate in the glory of God. He also said that he now believed consciousness to be the greatest entity of existence, to be aware of that relationship with God. You see, Dr. Alexander learned that it was the awareness of being alive and being in that relationship that was the most wonderful thing in life. And the relationship we will be in for eternity that begins now is a relationship with God in Jesus Christ. That is what our Lord wants for you, to have life. And have it in abundance, and that life never has to end. Amen.